It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we explore a very old and little-known Appalachian bread-making tradition. It involves cultivating wild microbes.
I don't want to say decomposing, but you know, you can tell things are breaking down in there.
That's just ahead. Stay with us. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Despite the West Virginia House of Delegates effectively killing a long-sweeping and controversial education reform package, teachers and school employees will be off the job for a second day today. Dave Mistich reports on a long, loud day at the Capitol that brought hundreds of teachers to Charleston.
After the House received the message on Senate Bill 451, Democratic Delegate Mike Caputo moved to postpone the bill indefinitely.
If all the things in this bill was so good, they wouldn't have put them all on one of those seats on that omnibus and sent it over here. Those provisions, in my opinion, Mr. Speaker, should stand or fall on their own merit.
The House adopted the motion to postpone the measure indefinitely, killing the bill on a 53-45 vote.
Ayes, 45 nays, two members absent not voting, a majority having voted in the affirmative, the motion to postpone indefinitely. House
will be in order. 12 Republicans joined Democrats on the decision. Senate President Mitch Carmichael expressed disappointment about the measure's failure. He says he expected the votes to be there in the House following negotiations over the weekend.
In this political world, all you really have is your word. And so when one gives you your word, you take them at their word, and we take actions accordingly. So we had an agreement, and then, it wasn't honored.
Between the motion to postpone indefinitely and an evening floor session, rumors had swirled about a possible maneuver by Republicans to bring the bill back to life. Although that didn't happen, union leaders still called for the strike to continue another day.
All three organizations have had conference calls earlier this evening. We've heard loudly and clearly from our members. We believe that there is still a minute opportunity for something to happen. So with that being said, all 55 counties will be closed again tomorrow.
The lower chamber has until it adjourns today to reconsider the motion to postpone indefinitely, as per the chamber's rules. American Federation of Teachers West Virginia President Fred Albert says the anxiousness over that possibility was articulated to them through their members.
We want to make it perfectly clear that our trust has been somewhat restored in the House because we have heard from the House today in a positive way.
But Albert also called on teachers to return to the Capitol.
Whatever the weather may be tomorrow, we expect for you to be back here to make sure that your voice continues to be heard.
Some county school systems began to call off school even before the union announcement. With Governor Jim Justice and Republican leaders of the legislature stating their commitment to pay raises before the midterms and even during this legislative session, House lawmakers say they plan to run a clean bill, calling only for state employee salary increases. According to House Finance Chairman Vernon Criss, House Bill 2730 will be on the committee's agenda today. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
After 5 years of meetings between environmentalists and the oil and gas industry, Kentucky lawmakers have a plan to cap the abandoned oil and gas wells around the state. WFPL's Ryan Van Veltzer has more.
Kentucky lawmakers have introduced legislation to help plug approximately 14,000 orphaned oil and gas wells across the state. These orphaned wells were abandoned by the original operators, littering forests and fields, limiting where farmers can grow crops, and presenting environmental and human health hazards. The state's foremost environmentalist, Tom Fitzgerald, says stakeholders accomplished more in the last 5 years of working together than in the 20 years before that.
One thing I'm most proud of is we have created a framework now for going back and closing those 14,000 legacy wells.
House Bill 199 would expand a program for closing abandoned storage tanks to include orphaned wells around the state. But the bill doesn't include any budget requirements, so it's up to the legislature to allot funding for the program if lawmakers approve it. I'm Ryan Van Velzer in Louisville.
Salt rising bread is an Appalachian soul food. Typically, people outside the region have never heard of it. The bread often brings to mind a variety of distinctive scents and grandmothers tending to a time-intensive dough in a wood-heated kitchen. Our Folklife reporter, Caitlin Tan, met with a baker who studied the art of salt rising bread and is carrying on the old-time tradition.
Yeast is a leavening agent that makes bread rise, giving it that familiar rounded top. It's what makes it look like bread. But salt rising bread doesn't use yeast. Recipes date back to the late 1700s, where pioneer women in the remote mountains of Appalachia figured out another way to make bread. Something no one else discovered. Amy Dawson, who recently became somewhat of a salt rising bread expert, explains from her kitchen in Harrison County.
It was common in this area because we were so isolated. There were no easy ways to get to town. There weren't breweries just everywhere where you could get yeast to leaven your bread. And so it was just through kind of trial and error and just a need to get your bread leavened.
The bread can rise only through the cultivation of bacteria. Safe bacteria that's found everywhere. It takes milk or potatoes, heat, and, well, time. A lot of time. It takes about 12 hours to make. And Amy is very familiar. She spent the past year training under experts Genevieve Bardwell and Susan Ray Brown. They started Rising Creek Bakery in Pennsylvania, which is one of the last places people can buy salt rising bread today. Amy's also the baker and co-owner of Lost Creek Farm, a traveling farm-to-table kitchen that serves up traditional Appalachian cuisine. And although she grew up in Lost Creek, West Virginia, surrounded by salt rising bread, she'd never made it before this apprenticeship.
Growing up, I didn't realize how special it was, and I just thought it was something that people had everywhere. It was just a type of bread, but it wasn't until I moved back home in my 30s that I realized that it was really only in this region, and you really couldn't get it anymore.
Amy is preparing to bake bread in her old farmhouse kitchen, which is perhaps the very same kitchen her ancestors baked in.
My great-grandma, Rachel Blake Dawson, who grew up in this house, made salt rising bread. And I just think she probably learned it from her mom, so I bet a lot of salt rising bread was made in this very house.
The simplest salt rising bread recipe is just flour and water. But the more ingredients, the more chance for bacteria to grow, so Amy likes to hedge her bets. For her starter, she mixes sliced potato, cornmeal, flour, baking soda, and hot water all in a quart-sized mason jar. She covers it with plastic wrap and a jar ring. The bacteria needs to breathe, so she pokes a hole in the wrap.
All the recipes say the same thing. You put it in a warm place. And then they don't say anything more about it. But for the particular bacteria that creates the rise in salt rising bread, the fermentation, you need it between 104 and 110 degrees Fahrenheit.
Traditionally, bakers kept their starters on or around their wood stoves.
In pioneer days, the women just knew their fires and they knew where to put it overnight and that it would be the right temperature. And it's amazing that they figured it out because that's a very narrow temperature range.
But today, rather than a wood stove, Amy uses a sous vide for temperature accuracy. The sous vide is a curling iron-shaped tool that keeps a pot of water at a set temperature. She sets her starters in the heated pot overnight and checks them after 8 to 12 hours.
You want a foam layer on the top of your starter.
So kind of what we're looking at is a white starter, the ingredients of it at the bottom, and then there's like almost a liquid layer where you can mm-hmm. kind of see through, and then the foam on top.
Yeah, that shows you that that bacteria is working. Those are the air bubbles from the bacteria.
At this stage, Amy takes out the potato slices and adds about half a cup of flour to the starter. But there are no precise measurements. It should resemble somewhat of a thin pancake batter.
And so I just add not even a lot of hot water, just a little splash. I don't know if it makes a difference. It's funny, you get into your own kind of routine and you think, oh, that's the ticket.
The starter has to sit once more in the heat. It takes about 30 minutes for it to be in what's called the sponge stage. It'll still be a thin mixture, but it will have risen to the top of the jar. Amy says a starter can usually make up to 10 loaves, but today she's making 3. She mixes the sponge in a bowl with hot water and adds about a teaspoon of salt for each loaf, and then about a cup of flour per loaf.
Yeah, the good thing about this is it's not really measured.
With the flour? Or just any
of it? Well, really with any of it. Yeah, you just need to make a dough at this point.
It has an interesting smell, one that has a polarizing reputation. It smells kind of like a strong, aging cheese. And Amy had an appetizing way of phrasing it.
Not, I don't want to say decomposing, but you know, you can tell things are breaking down in there and stuff's getting moving.
Amy says she's never heard of the bacteria hurting anyone. However, if your starter doesn't rise within 12 hours, it's best to just throw it out. Once the starter is mixed into a dough, Amy kneads it for several minutes.
Like any bread, for it to catch the gases from the bacteria, you need to work up the gluten so that it'll hold.
She divides the dough into three equal logs and puts them in greased rectangle loaf pans. And then, well, more waiting. The dough has to sit again at about 104 degrees for an hour or until it rises. A low setting on an oven or on top of a wood stove is a great place. The name Salt Rising Bread is still a bit of a mystery. Amy says her mentors Genevieve and Susan have one theory they explain in their book about the bread. During an interview with another expert on the bread, Susan and Jenny ask about saltratus, a precursor to baking soda.
They asked her about this saltratus, and she said, saltratus, oh yes, I remember hearing about that. And they said just the way she said it, they thought, saltratus, salt rising.
That's just one of the several theories on the name. Amy checks on the dough, and it's ready. After rising, it should double in size. She heats the oven to 400 degrees and sticks the loaves in for 30 minutes, and she turns them halfway through. When all is said and done, the whole process is easily 12 to 15 hours. One begins to think, why not just buy bread from the store or just make a quicker bread with yeast? Amy has a good explanation.
Because it would just be lost. Well, salt rising bread specifically is such a unique thing. And all of these recipes and food heritage, and I think it's very important to keep it because it's what makes us West Virginian and it's what makes us unique.
The loaves come out of the oven and the whole kitchen is filled with a warm, grainy smell. The loaves are a beautiful golden color. It's best to let them cool before cutting into them, so Amy cuts into a loaf she made the night before. She butters the slices and puts them on the stovetop. She recalls an early memory of her grandmother burning salt rising bread.
She kept her butter in the refrigerator. And so I just remember her scraping cold butter over burnt salt. And it smelled so good. It looked so good. I don't know what it was, but sometimes now if I accidentally burn some toast, I think she's still around, but I think of her.
And finally, we get to taste the bread. It has a lovely, crunchy crust, and each bite makes itself known. It's uniquely delicious.
It's got like a stick-to-your-teeth, like, chewiness to it. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah,
and surprisingly has like a nice savory, kind of, like you said, a little cheesy, salty flavor.
Mm-hmm.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Lost Creek.
You can find pictures and recipes for salt rising bread at our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.